The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or, what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. O God, who gave us life and in whose arms we die, you know us as we are. Understand what we have been and see what we shall become. We give you back our lives that you may make them new, generous, committed to hope, and fearless to do your will, that your whole creation may live to praise your name now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So this week, I received a pre-ordered book, both in my Kindle app and a hard copy from Amazon. Now, I have to tell you, I rarely buy hard copies anymore because Jim says I have way too many books. But to purchase both declares great expectation. And those expectations were born totally through the title of the book. It is called Everything is Figureoutable by Marie Forleo. Now, I'd never heard the word figureoutable before, certainly not in a title of a book, but I knew the truth of that phrase all the way to the bottom of my feet and from the inside of my childhood to the ever-growing, I hope, wisdom of my 60s. It is, actually, I think, the ever-present foundation of all of creation and is in every creaking hinge of all of our transitions and challenges in life. It is the heart of Christian hope that Jesus actually seeks for all of us to embody, or as we say in Christian lingo, to incarnate. I always capitalize the words Christian hope, especially hope, that Jesus teaches us about, because I want to distinguish it from the sort of lifeless, half-hearted way we have come to hear or use that word hope in the secular world. Sometimes we mix it up with optimism. Now, I have to think that Moses was a very hopeful person and that Moses knows that everything is figureoutable, even when God apparently does not. And God listened, and God changed God's mind. The golden calf, however, was simply over the top for God in that moment, and we all get why. When you have to deal with a growing impatience of a whole group of people, it can kind of put you on edge, and it demands a response. Now, it can be our easy response, you know, the just sort of go along with it response. It can be referring back to the way you have dealt with it in the past, It can be the way you have seen other people dealing with it, but it kind of all depends on what the it is. But all of those responses have to do with turning back rather than moving forward. And for God, a new creation in times of transition and challenge is always about moving forward. Perhaps saying a gentle goodbye to the beloved traditions or ways that are no longer working to grow the kingdom of God. But the fact is that in our grief at one more change, it is so easy to quietly turn away from God like the Hebrew people did this morning in the story, as they gave up hope that Moses was coming down from the mountain. The calf was their throwback to the past in Egypt and the wilderness when they were truly lost. And it seemed like they would be better going back to those traditions than staying here waiting for Moses. And what they had experienced at the Red Sea, that hadn't really sunk in yet. So, did you know that last Friday was the Mid-Autumn Moon Festival? Mostly celebrated in China and Vietnam, but now the world is discovering it. It's based on a lovely yet sad legend, but it also celebrates the harvest moon and all the fruits of labor and bountiful harvest that this time of year holds for us. In a country where many people are turning away from God and their heritage of faith, or are disillusioned or have been harmed or hurt by some denominations, sometimes these kinds of festivals take the place of what is lost. It is in our DNA to belong to some community that feeds our souls. And just like the golden calf that was focused on by the Hebrew people in the midst of their transition, sometimes we look to other traditions. Now, there's nothing wrong with those festivals. They're actually kind of fun. But we don't worship them. We worship God. This week was also remembered for those who were lost on 9/11. And those who went in search of the lost. It was a day of heroes everywhere, and it was a day of grief and loss and rage. It felt like our world shattered all around us, even if we were far from the three sites of those outrageous acts of hate and violence. It would be easy to give up hope and instead let our hate and our rage rule our hearts. And it would seem that for some, that did happen. But many did not. And those are the ones God found that day and have had working to build a new creation out of the shards of the fallen buildings and planes. Jan Richardson put it this way: God takes everything, experiences, stories, memories, relationships, dreams, prayers, all those pieces, light and dark, rough and smooth, straight and torn, and creates anew from them. I've learned to think of God as the consummate recycler. In God's economy, nothing is wasted. The broken as well as the beautiful, the torn as well as the whole, the pieces that we treasure as well as those we might prefer to throw away or bury or forget. Everything can be used, transformed and redeemed. Transformed and redeemed. You see, it is all figurative. That is God's work in us through grace. All we have to do is hold out our open hands and turn toward God, no matter how scary or hard that might seem in the moment. And that's the work of every congregation in a time of transition or challenge. And I promise you, it is all figurative. The good news is that we do not do the scary and hard alone. You have God and you have each other. And in a few months, you will have a new clergy leader to join you. Not to do the work for you, but to join you. In whatever work God is going to give you to seek out and find in the coming months. Today, we are going to celebrate the leadership and participation of the ministries and mission of St. Andrew's. We're going to commission for the next year our 6 key ministries, their leaders, and the people who have actively worked toward purposes and goals. Now, I have to say that you know that I use an image, and I want to share that image with you today because I've had it for most of the week, and it's called Remembering is What We Do Together. It's by Jan Richardson, but it wasn't until yesterday, as I was looking at it and finishing my sermon, that I realized there were 6 circles there. And we have 6 key ministry areas. And each one of those circles, and I'll show it to you closer up if you're interested, they're very individual. There's no 2 circles that are alike. It's a really beautiful, beautiful image there of us doing things as individuals, but coming together as a community. And because we have 6 key ministry areas, I looked at it quite differently yesterday and thought, yes, we do. Thank you very much, Holy Spirit. You got me there. So on this day when Jesus shows us the lightning-charged focus God puts on finding what and who is lost or hidden, we have to actually each reach deep into our hearts and souls to decide, are we really willing to let God find us? Are we really willing to let God find us, rediscover us, reactivate our faith in and through the work of one of these ministries? Now, if in your head you have come up with an excuse about why that's not happening right now, you are exactly the person God is looking for. And if in your head that excuse sounds like, oh, I don't have anything very much to offer, or I don't have time, or I'm too old, I've already been there and done that, or I'm not good enough, what would I do? You are exactly who God is looking for. Now, God could probably do all the work of the kingdom of God's self, but not in a million years would God want to do that. God would not ever rob us of our birthright as born again, baptized, and confirmed Christians. God's greatest dream is to witness the joy of true discipleship in action. We are God's stewards of all the blessings God has given us, and God wants us to do right by them. It is my hope that by November 17th, which is Good Thanks Sunday, every single member of St. Andrew's Church will be asked to and will choose to align themselves with one of the 6 key ministry areas listed on the back of your bulletin for 1 full year. And when the key ministry area that you will choose has a project happening in the near future, you might be called to help out. Each key ministry area will have a list of parishioners who have chosen just that key ministry area. So give careful consideration to which key ministry God is nudging you toward in the next few months. You see, really, there isn't any of us who really want to be the lost or the hidden. And we really do want to step out together from the shadows and into the light of Christ. Trust in God and trust in each other. Amen.